As he crouched behind the boulder, Landry considered his predicament. First, his scout ship had been reduced to nothing but wreckage. It was now strewn across the rocky, desolate wasteland of the inhospitable planet upon which he squatted in his EVA suit. That, in itself, would be enough to qualify this as a very bad day. But that wasn't the end of it. Second, the oxygen supply that was feeding his suit was rapidly dwindling. At this rate, he would suffocate in his own stinking breath within the hour, even if the PSA system in his backpack continued to separate the CO2 from the mix. The glowing numerals on his head-up display for O2 levels were fluctuating between 6 and 7%, but as he watched, he saw the 7 flicker and turn into a 3, then go back to 6. Either the gauge or the HUD itself had been damaged during the crash landing, and he wasn't sure he could trust either. Third, and perhaps this was the most terrifying reason of all, he was about to face off against a hostile alien creature that was almost twice his size. He could see the ugly critter now, sniffing about the rear portion of the scout ship that had broken off and landed among the boulders down the slope. The smoking white hull was striking amid the coppery hues of the landscape, easy to spot from a distance. The alien itself, bulky and chitinous, looked more or less at home in this world, even though it was not indigenous to the planet. Its body was like a wedge of volcanic rock, or perhaps the misshapen stump of a burnt tree, gnarled and mottled black and crimson. Its outer skin, if you could call it that, was coarse and uneven like sandpaper. And it stood between Landry and his only way of contacting home. Home, out here on planet Proc 1, was an outpost almost 300 clicks away from the crash site. It was certainly too far to walk, given Landry's oxygen supply. That was why he needed to dig through the smoldering wreckage. The antenna, located in the comms module on the rear of the ship, was his last hope. If he could somehow wire it up to the computer in the scout's cockpit, in the portion of wreckage Landry had occupied when the ship had broken in two, there was a faint, no, ridiculously minuscule, shred of hope that he might get out of this alive. As he watched, the alien moved, shuffling along the edge of the scout. It probed at the hull of the ship, then ripped open a panel on its side with fingers like granite. Leaning down, it briefly inspected the innards of the panel, then moved on. Landry moved to keep it within view, adjusting his position behind the boulder as he tried to figure out how he was going to take the creature down. He'd never seen one of the Argoni up close, he realized. At least, not in the flesh. In fact, few people had. He'd watched some cyber reels released by the War Department, read a few online fact sheets, but that was it. The war with the species known as Xenoglisse 412-01, more commonly referred to as the Argoni, or derisively as Toads, had begun almost 20 years ago. But in that time, the aliens had managed to mask most aspects of their tech and their biology. Like most of humanity, Landry was largely in the dark about the nature of man's greatest enemy. Now he watched the thing's movements worriedly, realizing that those cyber reels hadn't come close to accurately portraying the raw power that these creatures possessed. Landry's stomach turned at the thought of what would happen if it spotted him cowering behind the rocks. One swing of those powerful limbs would pulverize his bones beneath the EVA suit, turning his innards to mush. And it wasn't just the size of the thing that had him concerned. As it ducked to look inside another exposed panel of the ship, the Argoni bent and straightened with a gracefulness that belied its size, like a heavyweight boxer who specialized in ballet. It obviously possessed agility to go along with its strength, a potent mix. "What are you looking for, you ugly critter?" Landry wondered. "What do you want with my ship?"